This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Happy Friday. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk. St. Louis's home for conservative talk. It's Friday, and Ryan Wiggins, we are 20 seconds away from starting the show. And Ryan goes, oh, crap, I don't have my headphones. And then he just left. We got Ethan in here, though. Hi.
Hello, hello.
How are you doing?
I'm a little tired, but we're running on coffee, and that's how it's going to be probably the rest of the day.
Is it because you cleared your schedule and watched the Kamala Harris interview last night live?
No, it is not because of that. It is not.
We've got Ethan filling in for Brad today, and I get a message from Ethan last night. I think that message that you sent me was 10, was it 10:30 or something? You sent me one message at 10:30.
Probably.
And it was a picture of the inside of a soccer stadium in Kansas.
Well, that's cool.
It was cool.
So you were just at a game, just watching a game in Kansas?
No.
No, Lindenwood actually played the University of Kansas, or Kansas University, last night. First football game of the season, and right. I was on the broadcast crew for it. So took the trip over to Kansas City yesterday.
Last night. That's devotion, dude.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a grind. Got back at 3:30 or so.
A.M.
After calling the game.
Yes,
dude,
sir.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. They got annihilated, but they covered. And that's what truly matters.
Lindenwood's not going there to win the game.
No.
I mean, in their hearts. But that's what all of these preseason games are, always small operations trying to get some exposure. It's good for the big schools because you get to maybe work some things out and not have to really worry about it. It happens in every sport. And I just got this message. I'm like, you're on our show tomorrow, right? And he's like, yeah. And then he sends me back this picture from Kansas.
Were you briefly panicking?
No.
No, okay. I didn't know. Like,
no,
you were like, wait,
you.
you're coming, right? You're going to be back, right?
Any sort of panic or anxiety that I had was for you, not for the show.
Okay.
We'll
gotcha.
Be fine. Except for Wiggins, who today decided, oh, yeah, I need headphones for the show.
Yeah. I forgot my headphones. So it's a Friday. We're all just making do, and we're here.
I mean,
you just spilled your soda all over yourself.
I'm not drinking a soda. I'm having a delicious super skinny latte from Scooters. B, didn't spill at all. I just moved it, and it made a little noise.
Theater of the mind.
No. I'm not clumsy, klutzy, except for that one time I fell down the bleachers.
That was a great segment.
One time.
Let's just replay that.
It was worthy of a story on the air, because it happens so infrequently. So last night, I had two volleyball practices, and the Kamala Harris interview is supposed to be happening, and I thought to myself, because I think I got done at volleyball at 8, so I was thinking, maybe I'll pop it on the radio in the car and stream CNN in my car so that I can. And I was like, no, I think I have to see this. I think I need to have the full sit down experience to watch it. And so I get home, and then it's dinner time, 8:30 at night, which is what you do in season. And I thought, I said, my husband looks at me every once in a while. He's like, what do you need to do? Because he knows that there's like a news thing happening, and he knows I'm going to need to cover it. And I said, here's the deal. I have to watch this interview. I'd like to watch it on the television, but what I don't want to do is be like yelling at the kids to quiet down. This is very similar to what we were talking about yesterday about parenting and being home and trying to pay attention to the people who are in front of you, whatever. And I told him, I was like, I don't want to go sit over there and be yelling at the kids so I can hear Kamala Harris. Like, that's inverted and upside down. And so then he's like, well, he was making dinner, and he's like, how about I make you dinner? And he's like, you can go upstairs, you can eat dinner upstairs, whatever. Well, I didn't want to eat upstairs. So I said, okay, I'm just going to go try to do this in the family room, open concept home for the most part. So the family room and the kitchen are essentially one and the same. And I sat down, and lo and behold, I don't have it recorded because YouTube TV, because it was titled something differently, because I have all of the PM shows on all the major networks DVR'd every night. So it wasn't recorded. So then I had to go find it and watch it on Twitter. And I don't know that. sometimes I feel like watching that type of stuff after the effect, there's just enough of a tinge of everybody else's opinion that you might have seen while you were looking for the actual content. So with that grain of salt, I did watch the interview, and I'm trying to pull apart everything that I've heard other people say and just react on my own without other people's opinions in first. First and foremost, why the heck was she the furthest away from the camera?
Yeah, it was strange.
The setting was so demeaning is the word that's in my head. And I certainly don't think they intentionally did that on CNN to Kamala Harris. But, you know, Ryan, you've worked in television before, but for the folks who haven't seen it yet, Dana Bash is sitting on the right of the screen and they're at a four-sided table. They looked like they were in a library. Maybe they were.
Yeah, it's just like a card table.
They're sitting at this table that is not big. Kamala Harris is on the far side of the table from the camera, and Tim Walz is in like the foreground. He looks twice her size.
Yeah.
And I just thought, this woman wants to be the president of the United States, and she is the smallest focal point of the shot, and she is being dwarfed by Tim Walz and Dana Bash, who were more in the foreground. And then there was a table in front of half of her.
Yeah.
What? Like, I'm really wondering. I don't know if this is something that's been.
There it is right there on TV.
Yeah.
She looks like half his size.
Her head, the top of her head is up to Tim Walz's nose.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think she's a petite person. But this was not glamorous the way that I really feel like it. They should have. Kamala Harris's people should have demanded a very aesthetically pleasing. Kamala Harris is nicer to look at than Donald Trump. Kamala Harris is nicer to look at than Tim Walz. She should have been put in, if anything, that the stills of this should have made her shine. Go ask Carrie Lake how she does it.
Yeah.
It's like Carrie Lake's best
Barbara Walters
game.
Filter.
Whatever. So she looks teeny tiny, and there's a table there, and then the interview, just from the way that it was put together, was all cut up. And I'm thinking to myself, you had to edit the video. I think the total runtime was maybe around 28 minutes, like the total runtime of what was aired. Less than a 30-minute interview had to be cut up so that they could put B-roll and intermittent stuff in between. And there's a table in front, and I'm wondering if she had notes in her lap. Is there any way for us to know she had notes in her lap?
I don't think. As far as I understood it, she wasn't supposed to, but this isn't a debate, so there's not like rules.
Isn't supposed to, according to whom?
Well, I just, the way it looked, it would look like she was cheating her, like the audience, if she had notes.
Which
because
is why
she
you
would
put
have
a table
hidden them.
In front of them.
Yeah, they would have been hidden if she had them.
Well, yeah, that's why you put the table. That's the point, Ryan, that they would put a setting up there where she would be in a place where she could have references available to her for an edited 30-minute video. I don't know if she did, but I just don't I'm trying to think, why in the world would you agree to that shot? Because it was very, very poorly done for Kamala Harris visually.
Yeah, little sort of my television analysis of why they did what they did is it seems as if they picked a place that wasn't quite big enough for the crew that they were going to have, which is on them. I'm not saying that that was a good move, but
she had 40 days to figure out how to
yeah,
do this right. That's
yeah.
that's a stupid.
Because there was plenty of room, like behind Tim Walz, but behind Kamala Harris, you had the wall. Usually, you have some space there because it looks better if you do. So I think what they tried to do was they tried to make her the focal point, like you were saying, by putting her in the center. But they like, if you've noticed, Kamala Harris does very poorly when she does sit down interviews, chair to chair. Everyone she's ever done, she's really botched.
I don't think that's because of the chairs.
But she likes panels. So I think they tried to make, that's why they added Tim Walz. She really likes to try to do conversational settings. And this was her way of kind of doing that without doing an actual panel.
I don't know about that. I do know watching it that it was a long time before Tim Walz was a factor in the conversation, which made it even more bizarre that he was sitting there. And I have a theory on that. We're going to take phone calls on this. I'm going to move the phone calls to the 1 o'clock segment, 1:05. I will remind you this after we do the B or not the B at 12:45 with Ryan. I want to know what your thoughts are on this interview, and I want you to react to some of the things that we have that we took out of this, because I want to go through some of the sound and get to what we all individually think about this. But I know that a lot of people are talking about Tim Walz being there as somebody who could support Kamala through, because Kamala Harris doesn't do well in these moments. But I actually kind of have a different theory about it after watching this interview play out as to why Tim Walz was actually
You said
there.
That you carried weapons in war, but you have never deployed actually in a war zone. A campaign official said that you misspoke. Did you?
Well, first of all, I'm incredibly proud. I've done 24 years of wearing the uniform of this country. Equally proud of my service in a public school classroom, whether it's Congress or the governor.
So, Dan, this question is, did you lie about your service? His response is, I'm proud of my service, and I was a school teacher.
My record speaks for itself.
My record speaks for itself. That's not true, though, because you lied about your record.
Yeah.
Like that, inherently, this is the question that if Tim Walz is going to find himself in front of a reporter, you got to have an answer that addresses the question, because you can't always avoid it, or a good opponent with some good political sense will answer the question for you in your absence of acknowledging what is there. Tim Walz saying that his record speaks for itself makes me angry, because when he goes out there and repeatedly, this is not a one-time thing, he repeatedly misleads the people who he's speaking to, in many cases face-to-face, about what his record actually is. And it always, always, always goes to the favor of Tim Walz doing something that is, in his mind, I would only assume, because he's so consistent about misleading people about what the truth is, that he thinks that there's more valor involved in his lie than in the truth. That's why he repeats it. That's why he's actually pretty consistent about what he deceives people in. And then his response to Dana Bash is, my record speaks for itself. Then let the record speak for itself and stop deceiving people. I don't understand why he's coming into this interview right now with that type of answer, when he should absolutely be more prepared for a better answer. And he's not.
Proud of my service in a public school classroom, whether it's Congress or the governor. My record speaks for itself, but I think people are coming to get to know me. I speak like they do. I speak candidly. I wear my emotions on my sleeves, and I speak especially passionately about our children being shot in schools and around guns. So I think people know me. They know who I am. They know where my heart is. And again, my record has been out there for over 40 years to speak for itself.
Yeah, but you lied about it. And I'm sorry, Governor Walz, why did you say something that was not true, which is what we call lying? Why did you say something that was not true about weapons of war, weapons that you carried in war? Why would you allude to people that you have this sense of knowledge and about an experience about the situations that would manifest the need to carry one of those weapons, and then completely abdicate your responsibility of answering to the deception that you put out there, and then start talking about, oh yes, school shootings? The context of him saying weapons of war that he carried was, the context of that was in school shooting, in a school shooting conversation. So that's why those two things are together. Politically, maybe smart to try to shift to the point of why he was talking about those. But the question that Dana asks, and a very important one, is why did you deceive people about this? And when he says, I speak like they do, I'm starting to get a little bit miffed as about this Midwestern caricature of a white guy that they're trying to make Governor Tim Walz. He's out there supposed to represent you. Many of you listening right now are men. Most of you listening right now are Midwestern men. And he speaks like you do? Deceitfully? Come again? His over-exaggeration into just straight-out lying is supposed to be relatable to people like you, Ryan, because, you know, you're a Midwestern white dude. You know how we talk. We speak like each other. Tim Walz, he's just like you.
I don't care which party says that. I don't care who you are. when you come to me and you go, I'm like you, I go, then you don't need to say that. Like, why would you? I'm rolling up my sleeves and wearing flannel. You do that sometimes, don't you? We're the same.
People who are trying to mimic folks like us usually go a little overboard in their effort.
Yes.
And you can tell very quickly. Here's more of his response to this.
We were talking about, in this case, this was after a school shooting, the ideas of carrying these weapons of war. And my wife, the English teacher, told me my grammar's not always correct. But again, if it's not this, it's an attack on my children for showing love for me, or it's an attack on my dog. I'm not going to do that. And the one thing I'll never do is I'll...
Are you telling me, just for a hot freaking second here, that you saying that you carried these weapons when you were in war? It never happened. You left. You quit the National Guard as soon as you found out that they were going to deploy. Now, you served for 24 years. And if, Governor Walz, your record spoke for itself, that should be enough. Because every American across this country, should you have served those 24 years and been honest about that service, we would all be perpetually, infinitely grateful that you answered that call for that long. That service is commendable. That service is admirable. My question is, why are you the only one that didn't think it was that it was commendable enough, that it was admirable enough? Why did you feel the need to embellish it once you started running for office, just to put the little cherry on the top to make sure that it was quite enough? That's pretty offensive. So then he comes out here and then he says that his wife is correcting him all the time for using bad grammar right after he said, I speak like they do. What an ass. That's infuriating to me. The pandering nature of this, like they're trying to turn this into an instance where this is a plus for him. Like, once you understand that Tim Walz, especially if you're one of those people outside of the Midwest that is peeking around the corner like all these Midwesterners are in some sort of zoo exhibit where you can go watch them in their natural habitat with their poor grammar and their not so great fashion and their dogs that change and transform into different kinds of like, I'm supposed to sit here and go, he's one of us. And then you compare him to the other white guy in the race, Tim Walz. Well, there's two other white guys in the race. You compare Tim Walz to Donald Trump, and you're like, I can't relate to him at all. Guess what? I only want to be like one of them. I do not aspire to live the Tim Walz life. It would be sweet to live Donald Trump's life for just a hot second.
Yeah. And to assume, the other thing that's funny is he's sitting there with the supposed to be next president, Kamala Harris. And so whenever he's saying, I'm so relatable, I'm so like everybody, he's also saying, we acknowledge that she's not. Like, why are you there? You can't just have all these things at the same time. But that's across all of it. They're trying to say one thing in one year, another thing in another year. It's just double speak constantly.
Yes.
This is an attack on my children for showing love for me, or it's an attack on my dog. I'm not going to do that. And the one thing I'll never do is I'll never demean another member's service in any way. I never have, and I never will.
That's false, though, because in your own deceit of your own service, you demeaned your own. The fact that you came out and had to embellish and lie about what you did repeatedly, you demeaned your own service and anybody else who has done what you have done that didn't go overseas. Especially think about the people who served along with you and then did go to Iraq. Seems to me like you got that one wrong, but it was actually about yourself. Oh, and the other thing, when people are talking about your embellished service record that doesn't speak for itself because you're the one who keeps trying to change the record based on what it is on paper versus what you've tried to sell people for votes. When you talk about that lie and, you know, get out of here with your misinformation and lie. It's a lie. When you decide to try to sell people something that isn't true to persuade them to support you more, that's a lie. It's deceitful, and we're calling it out. That is not in the same boat as the idiots that were out there criticizing your son when he was hyper-emotional at the DNC. And I was the first person to go on Twitter and call out everybody on both sides of the aisle who were making comments about their son, because it did not take much of an effort online to find out that his son is neurodivergent, I think, and ADHD and a few other things. Like, it's pretty easy to find that out. Those are two completely separate situations here. And when you try to lump them all together, you're trying to push away the idea that, yeah, you lied about your service and people are not so happy about it. All right. The YouTube live chat poll for today is a tough one.
Yeah, I can't decide.
But it is a Friday one.
Friday one.
Who would you rather ride a roller coaster with? Donald Trump or Kamala Harris? Annie Fry YouTube channel. Come vote. And we really need to know why you voted the way you did. And we also want people to leave us voice messages.
Yep. So if you're listening on the app, on the Odyssey app to 97.1, you will see the microphone button. It's as easy as hitting that button, recording whatever you want to say, and then hitting it again, and we'll get it.
And we'll pick some to maybe air.
Yeah.
If we get some good ones. Go to the Odyssey app and listen to us there. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. We have been going over a lot of the Tim Walz portion of the Harris interview yesterday. Everybody's talking about the Harris stuff. I don't know if Tim Walz has gotten as much attention as, I mean, I figure by this time at 12:30 the next day, boy, how cool is it if you're waiting for 12:30 for us to introduce you to what happened yesterday? But I assume most people have an idea of what took place during that Kamala Harris interview. I really believe, based on just watching last night, Tim Walz has a lot of liabilities that he's created for this ticket. I don't really know anything that he brings to the ticket.
I think they're trying to make it that he's the Midwest guy. That's the thing.
I think he's the leftist version of a DEI hire.
Wow. I think you're right.
He's not the best at the job, but he's the best white guy we could find that would do what we want him to do.
And that would accept the position, apparently.
Yeah.
He's just sort of a canvas. You know, hey, what do you want me to be? Yeah, I'm that thing, too. But that's the whole campaign.
But the idea that he's this like Midwestern white guy, everything that they've presented to us about Tim Walz is about the shell of
yeah,
the man.
Yeah.
And everything that we've gotten that is substantive about him kind of sucks.
Yeah, it does. I mean, his record in Minnesota is not terribly popular. Minnesota is a blue state. And every year that he has run for re-election, he has gotten less and less of the vote share to the point that they almost are ready to pick that seat off. But it's still a blue state. So he's still getting 51-52% of the vote when he runs for governor. But yeah, his policy positions, I mean, the tampon thing, giving tampons to boys.
How many people are going, well, he's got my vote now. I've been waiting for this for all of time.
Just any Democrat, picture yourself in 2000 or 1980 or whenever, and picture yourself going, you know what, in a few years, I'm really looking forward to voting somebody who's trying to give tampons to boys. That seems like a really good policy position.
I think I always want to correct people, I don't know if correct is the right word. What they're not trying to give you a tampon, Ryan, because you think you're a girl. It's not about that. It's about women who've transitioned to being men but still have periods, which is kind of like how you know. But anyway, I mean, the point is that there are women who have transitioned into being men in this culture and they want to use the men's bathroom, but they also do have periods. That's how you know they're women.
And also, let's put tampon machines in all of these bathrooms to serve this tiny little subset of people at the taxpayer expense and to showcase to impressionable young men, gender is fluid, which is really the point of it.
I really believe that Tim Walz was at this Harris interview to help Tim Walz. Everybody was thinking that I even said I referred to Tim Walz as Kamala Harris's support dog and that he was there to help her get through the interview. But he didn't say hardly anything for the majority of this interview. Then they finally go to him and all of the things. I mean, in politics, you should want the hard questions so that you can get on the record with your response to it, so you can define the situation. And I think that Tim Walz is more of a liability to this ticket than he is a benefit. And I don't see any, like, there's no lift that Tim Walz gets you unless you think specifically that Minnesota was going to be a problem. You know, we talk about Virginia as like, boy, there's all these swing states that we know, the six or so swing states that are going to decide the election. But if Governor Youngkin in Virginia cleans the voter rolls so much that now Virginia is in the actual conversation for Donald Trump to win, it changes everything. So the Democrats should think, we got to lock down Virginia. The same thing is true with Minnesota. If Minnesota comes into the conversation, the Minnesota should go blue.
Yes, it should.
But if Minnesota all of a sudden becomes part of the conversation because of uncommitted voters, because of Democrats who aren't going to support somebody who supports Israel out of Minnesota, then that changes the entire game. So I'm thinking that Governor Walz, A, is the DE hire of the left. He's their whole administration is diversity focused, which is just their way of saying non-white man. But they needed to have one. So they went out and got the most palatable one for them. And I think it was to short Minnesota to make sure that, okay, we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to spend money there. Why would you waste time doing that? Because the Minnesota question is an unanswerable question. You cannot, in the Democrat Party, Kamala Harris cannot, in the Democrat Party, as the leader of the Democrat Party, as their nominee, cannot satisfy Minnesota and the rest of the party. There's no answer there. So let's take Governor Walz. We'll make sure that the people who supported him in the governor campaign will come support us and we'll win Minnesota. We don't, A, have to actually address the problem. We can keep speaking out of both sides of our mouths. And B, we'll make sure that Minnesota stays where it belongs, in the blue column. I think that Tim Walz was there with Kamala Harris to run cover for Tim Walz. And I don't think we're going to see much more of him. I think that's going to be it.
Interesting. I think you're making a good political point about Minnesota. You're making an interesting psychological point about the Democrat Party, because they really do seem to think that the outer characteristics of a person are the most important things about them.
That's your value.
Because it's not just DEI. It's about, we think now, because, and this is what's interesting about Tim Walz and the point that you're kind of getting at here. If we chose him because he's the white guy who looks a lot like Midwestern guys, then why wouldn't Midwestern guys vote for him? That's the most important thing, isn't it? Is the way that he looks. So you should identify with him according to our values. And when they don't, or when you vote for, like when South Carolina votes for Tim Scott, it's going to blow their minds, because it doesn't make sense that you could vote for somebody who doesn't look just like you.
It's very dangerous to the status quo. And the Democrats compete very well in the current climate of politics. And if you start shaking that stuff up, if you start seeing the black vote shift in the direction of Donald Trump, he doesn't have to win the black vote. If Donald Trump gets 20% of the black vote, that's going to be show stopping.
Yeah.
And Democrats are counting, what was it before, like 7 or 8% or something like that?
Yeah, I think it peaked out at maybe 11 ever in the last 40 years.
So if you get to the point where you have 20% of the black vote going one direction, two things are going to happen. The Democrats are going to have to assess why that might be the case, which would be shocking to many of them, that because black people think individually just like all the other skin color people think individually.
Shocking.
Yes. But they can't admit that, because literally the guy who's the president of the United States right now simplified it for us all to understand completely what they mean. If you don't vote for me, you ain't black. Quote, hash, Joe Biden. Unbelievable thing to say. Imagine if Donald Trump said that. If you don't vote for me, you ain't black. There are more clips here from Kamala Harris, and I want to get to some more of these in the 1 o'clock hour, and we'll take your phone calls on this as well. But we really would like to know what you think about the interview last night. I don't think that it was a disaster for Kamala Harris, but I feel like she reinforced that she is the Kamala Harris that we know.
That's exactly right.
It's like more of the same, and I think that what she needed was to make people see her, have this conversation, and go, well, that was pretty refreshing. Like, I know a lot more about Kamala Harris and what she would do if she became the president of the United States right now. She talked out of both sides of her mouth. We'll get to some of those clips in the 1 o'clock hour. And she used 10 times as many words as she needed to make the point. So I don't think it was kind of a draw, I would say. At the end of the day, it wasn't I don't think it moved the ball for, everyone keeps saying that analogy. I don't like that. I don't like saying what everybody else says. Move the ball down the field.
Move the puck down the ice.
Yes.
Much better, huh?
No, because the puck goes all over the place all the time. Kind of like Kamala Harris.
Hey! Nice. Good job. Very good.
Yeah, moving the ball down the field is a much more thoughtful, definitive motion, whereas,
Moved the shuttlecock to the opposite side of the...
It's time to go to break.
Okay.
Ethan, play that music before Ryan starts speaking. Again, YouTube live chat poll. Who would you rather ride a roller coaster with, Trump or Harris? I put a really weird emphasis on the word roller coaster. Happy Friday.
Whoa, roller coaster.
We need somebody to go to the Odyssey app and give us what it would be like. I want like a walkthrough, just a quick brief walkthrough of what it would be like to ride a roller coaster with Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Leave a voice message.
And Kamala Harris, yeah. If it's good, we might play it on the air. Go to the Odyssey app and find 97.1 FM Talk. Little microphone there. Click that microphone, record it. It'll come right to us. Might air it right here on the Annie Fry Show. Be or not the bee?
That's next.
All right, don't go away.
Well, the music's gone.
Where's the Wiggins America? Do you have it? I can just play this. We're going to play.
Un momento.
Brad's out today, if you haven't noticed.
No, that's all right.
See, you want to know what the issue was here?
Yeah, I do.
So I heard it in my ears because I had it
in
queue, but I had it potted down.
He did just look up at it.
So like, I was literally like,
why aren't you guys talking?
Take two.
Let's do this one more time.
Wiggins. Oh, Wiggins. The bee or not the bee.
Ended up being flawless.
I was going to say the execution second time was perfect
because
That's a lot of pieces to play and make them all hit at the same time.
The funny thing is, it went
you guys really did
I was
it.
So happy. I was like, okay, good. We sound good. I was like, oh, wait, it wasn't on here.
It's right. Silent in here, and we're all just looking at each other like,
where's the music? I'm like,
who's going to say it?
Well, the darkness was playing there. That was kind of fun. All right, this is the B or not the B. These are a bunch of headlines, some of them real, some of them satire from the Babylon Bee. You got to tell me which is which. First one. What do you think my policies might be? Kamala Harris asked CNN's Dana Bash during interview. Let me do the emphasis a little bit different here. What do you think my policies might be? Kamala Harris asks.
What? B.
It's pretty obvious that this is the B, Ethan. Okay, yeah. You can agree. It says... Teaser footage from the interview indicated that Kamala's 4D chess move
4D chess.
Came
Everybody
shortly
loves the 4D chess.
After Bash peppered her with the hard-hitting, obviously hostile question, what are some of the core policies you'd like to enact as president? Quote, well, you see, Dana, that's a question you asked me right there, Kamala answered cunningly.
I wish we could collectively just agree to call her Dana.
I do, too.
I don't think you can do that with people's names, but...
I guess you can just be like, no, my name is Rianne. You have to call me that now.
I think you can do that these days.
I think you can. Kamala answered cunningly, winding up for a shrewd turnaround. What do you think my policies might be? Bash reportedly shuddered a little and hesitated, causing Kamala to follow up her with another absolute banger of a line. Let me answer your question this way, Kamala continued. Why don't you guess what my policies are, and I'll tell you if you got it right.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant.
Exactly.
Absolutely brilliant.
Okay, that's the B. Tell me if this one's the B. Five guys down to just two guys after California minimum wage increase.
Yeah, I saw this one. This
oh, did you?
Yeah. I almost sent it to you, but then I was afraid you wouldn't. Then I
wouldn't use it?
Yeah.
I thought this sounded like it could have been a humorous headline to a real story, so that's why I chose it. But yeah, it is the B. We had to let go of Chad, Ben, and Tyler. Now it's just me and Matt, said Jim Morrell, one of the original five guys. Which sucks because Matt is really annoying.
I wish his name was something other than Matt.
Why? Do you love Matts?
No, I just wish it would. I mean, Brad and Ryan are pretty common names.
Mm.
Could have been a Brad or a Ryan.
You really had a pause there and figuring out what word you wanted to use.
I know. What
use.
Are you going
to
say?
Went with common.
I was going to say average, but I didn't want it to sound mean, so I changed it. Because I didn't mean average in the sense as in inadequate, but now that we're here, I'll explain myself. I actually paused because I wanted to say something that was nicer, and now I regret that decision.
No, you did a good job because I walked away feeling like a pretty tall dude.
Average.
Now I'm back to 5'9".
But you are the most average person I know.
Thank you.
Top notch, middle of the road.
You know, I probably embrace
so
that.
You know,
on my good days, I'd be like, yeah, you know, you're darn right I am.
Super average.
All right. Democrats hold Hotties for Harris party complete with Plan B abortion pills.
Hey, that's real. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm rolling with it.
This is real.
Dang it.
And this came, it was during the DNC. Democrats held a Hotties for Harris after party a few evenings ago featuring pregnancy tests and UTI medication.
Whoa.
Wait, there's more.
Whoa.
There was an abortion access skee ball game. Kid you, this is real. Abortion pills in gumball machines. Also featured was a prize wheel with blindfolds. I hate to use these words, but this is what was on it. Lube and condoms that said F Project 2025 on them as prizes.
Is there any, I mean, I know where the three of us stand. But how can anyone argue that this isn't just celebratory evil?
Yeah.
I mean, there are literal Bible stories of stuff like this taking place right before God's like, send some fire.
Right. Yeah.
Send some water.
This at the bottom of this, it says it took place in Gomorrah. I made that part up. Sorry.
That would have been... The B.
That would have been, that's the B part, but the rest of that's all real. There is a little bit more. It says, the Hotties for Harris wall included pictures of, so this is the Hotties portion, Nancy Pelosi, Travis Kelce, and Tim Walz, while the wall of weirdos included pictures of Marco Rubio, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and Tim Scott.
Oh, I'd vote for all of them for anything if it could be representing me. Do you, listen, if you want to use the title of your party to be Hotties for Harris... Does it matter if they're not really hotties?
Well, that's why I wanted to read that last paragraph with Nancy Pelosi on the Hotties wall and Tim Walz. Travis Kelce, sure.
Yeah, I know. You won't ever stop talking about him.
That's off air.
Not anymore.
Dang it. I'm reading a story right now.
Yeah. We get all of our Taylor knowledge from him watching shorts of Travis Kelce all the time.
Watch him in shorts all the time.
You know, I was a little bit... I was a little bit surprised in the first segment.
YouTube shorts. YouTube shorts.
In the first
whatever
segment.
Whatever floats your boat.
When you made
we're
a
talking about your boat. Go on, Ethan.
You made a comment about Kamala being more flattering to look at than Trump or Tim Walz, and I was honestly surprised that that didn't get any pushback from Ryan.
Oh, I would have, but she was on a tear.
She was kind of feeling it.
I got to let her go.
Were you respecting?
Yeah, I was respecting you.
Mm-hmm.
You are the most... down the middle speaker I've ever heard.
I'm usually pretty much to the right.
That's what I meant.
Are you saying I'm failing?
Yep.
Well, at least we understand each other.
Harris team asks if her mic can just be muted for the whole debate.
That's got to be the B.
That's the B. Surprise, surprise. Trump campaign senior advisor Jason Miller said in a statement, quote, there is literally no point in debate if one person isn't going to speak. Then Kamala's quote, fake quote, of course, is kind of long, but I'm not only the first female vice president, but the first person of color also. I'm a pioneer. You know, pioneers? They traveled across the country to find a new life for themselves, like I'm going to find new life in muting my mic. Laughter. So that I don't talk. That's why I should talk, right? I mean, why? Because a picture is worth a thousand words, and I'm like a picture, a real moving talking
picture.
Okay,
I can't take any more.
Well, not
it.
The talking part.
Stop
laughter.
It. I didn't even like the fake quotes of Kamala Harris's.
I knew that was long.
Better than
and
the
I'm
real
like,
ones.
It just keeps going. It just keeps going.
We have a Twitch person who said, why are you reading fake quotes? Is this news? No. The answer is no. It's actually literally fake news.
Yeah.
Which is why we said that.
We keep saying it in the segment. So I'm not sure how you could gather that we're reading real
but,
headlines.
Thank you to our one Twitch viewer.
Yes, thank you very much. Now again, these just so if you're just tuning in
just now
and you're on Twitch and you're the only person there, we're talking literally directly to you right now.
Yeah.
This is the Bee or Not the Bee.
Forget about the thousands of people in St. Louis right now.
Yeah, yeah. The tens of thousands in their cars.
Matter.
We're talking to this one guy.
We've already spent more time on this than necessary.
If you hear a headline, what we're doing is a little game that we call Bee or Not the Bee. Some of these are real headlines. Some of them are satire. You have to decide which ones.
And some of them are just for now, but will be true later headlines.
Right. Co-workers complaining about stinky cubicle employee surprised to find out she's dead.
Oh, that's real.
That's real. 4 days dead.
You saw this?
Oh. Yes.
This is real.
I didn't read the article because it creeped me out so much, but now I want to know more.
If you ever think you're neglected at work, be grateful that it's not this bad. That's how the article opens. Wells Fargo employee, doesn't say her name, died at a Tempe office, wasn't found until days later, authorities said. She scanned into work on August 16th. Security at the building found her name dead inside the building 4 days after she clocked in, after a colleague found her because several people had smelled a foul odor.
That's so sad.
But passed it off as faulty plumbing. Most of the employees in the division work remotely. Mm. So they didn't know she was even there.
Okay, that's what I was curious of is... How do you not find that out in the cubicle?
That's, I don't know. Like, how come it goes for 4 days before?
Yeah.
Dirk wants to say this is a perfectly average segment.
Thank you.
Totally. Thank you. That's what we're here
Thank
for.
Thank you.
The YouTube live chat poll today is who would you rather ride a roller coaster with, Trump or Harris? And we've got some of your comments coming in here. Jackie said, I'm with Trump because he would make me laugh. His windblown hair would be hilarious and his firm grip, have you seen some of his handshakes, would be a great distraction. Let's see here. Let's get to Dirk's. He said, I chose Trump. Curious as to how his hair would look at the end of the ride. You know he'd just let that sucker fly, too.
Or it would look the exact same.
I don't know, because when he's at a event or something like that, he's always talking about, he'll be like, see, look, it's real.
Yeah.
He let Jimmy Fallon, like, rough it up a little
yeah.
bit.
But if the point was he was going to ride a roller coaster, I think he would have that thing just completely stiffed.
You know, in the world of influencer content and everything, wouldn't it be funny for people to interview Donald Trump on a roller coaster?
Yeah,
I feel like he'd be like extra honest, which not like we need. He's pretty straightforward.
Maybe,
to begin with.
He'd just be talking about the border. Maybe, same thing.
Maybe he'd be really sweet. Yeah. I don't know. Let us know what you think on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I can just play this. We're going to play.
Un momento.
Brad's out today, if you haven't noticed.
No, that's all
See,
right.
See, you want to know what the issue was here?
Yeah, I do.
So I heard it in my ears because I had it
in queue,
but I had it potted down.
He did just look up at it.
So I was literally like,
why aren't you guys talking?
Take two.
Let's do this one more time.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
The Bee or Not the Bee.
Up being flawless.
I was going to say the execution second time was perfect
because
That's a lot of pieces to play and make them all hit at the same time.
The funny thing is, it went silent.
Really I was so happy. I was like, okay, good. We sounded good. I was like, oh, wait, it wasn't on here.
It's right. Silent in here, and we're all just looking like, at each other like,
where's the music? I'm like,
who's going to say?
Well, the darkness was playing there. That was kind of fun. All right, this is the Bee or Not the Bee. These are a bunch of headlines, some of them real, some of them satire from the Babylon Bee. You got to tell me which is which. First one. What do you think my policies might be? Kamala Harris asked CNN's Dana Bash during interview. Let me do the emphasis a little bit different here. What do you think my policies might be? Kamala Harris asks.
What? B.
It's pretty obvious that this is the B, Ethan. Okay, yeah. You can agree. It says, teaser footage from the interview indicated that Kamala's 4D chess move
4D chess.
Came
Everybody
shortly
loves the 4D chess.
After Bash peppered her with the hard-hitting, obviously hostile question, what are some of the core policies you'd like to enact as president? Quote, well, you see, Dana, that's a question you asked me right there, Kamala answered
cunningly.
I wish we could
collectively just agree to call her Dana.
I do, too.
I don't think you can do that with people's names, but...
I guess you can just be like, no, my name is Rianne. You have to call me that now.
I think you can do that these days.
I think you can. Kamala answered cunningly, winding up for a shrewd turnaround. What do you think my policies might be? Bash reportedly shuddered a little and hesitated, causing Kamala to follow up her with another absolute banger of a line. Let me answer your question this way, Kamala continued. Why don't you guess what my policies are, and I'll tell you if you got it right.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant.
Exactly.
Absolutely brilliant.
Okay, that's the B. Tell me if this one's the B. Five guys down to just two guys after California minimum wage increase.
Yeah, I saw this one. This
oh, did you?
Yeah, I almost sent it to you, but then I was afraid you wouldn't. Then
I wouldn't use it?
Yeah.
I thought this sounded like it could have been a humorous headline to a real story, so that's why I chose it. But yeah, it is the B. We had to let go of Chad, Ben, and Tyler. Now it's just me and Matt, said Jim Morrell, one of the original five guys. Which sucks because Matt is really annoying.
I wish his name was something other than Matt.
Why? Do you love Matts?
No, I just wish it would. I mean, Brad and Ryan are pretty common names.
Mm.
Could have been a Brad or a Ryan.
You really had to pause there and figure out what words you wanted to use.
I know. What
use.
Are you going
to
say?
Went with common.
I was going to say average, but I didn't want it to sound mean, so I changed it. Because I didn't mean average in the sense as in inadequate, but now that we're here, I'll explain myself. I actually paused because I wanted to say something that was nicer, and now I regret that decision.
No, you did a good job because I walked away feeling like a pretty tall dude.
Average.
Now I'm back to 5'9".
But you are the most average person I know.
Thank you.
Top notch, middle of the road.
You know, I probably embrace
so sweet.
That. You know. On my good days, I'd be like, yeah, you know, you're darn right I am.
Super average.
All right. Democrats hold Hotties for Harris party complete with Plan B abortion pills.
I think that's real. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm rolling with it.
This is real.
Dang it.
And this came, it was during the DNC. Democrats held a Hotties for Harris after party a few evenings ago featuring pregnancy tests and UTI medication.
Whoa.
Wait, there's more.
Whoa.
There was an abortion access skee ball game. Kid you, this is real. Abortion pills in gumball machines. Also featured was a prize wheel with blindfolds. I hate to use these words, but this is what was on it. Lube and condoms that said F Project 2025 on them as prizes.
Is there any, I mean, I know where the three of us stand. But how can anyone argue that this isn't just celebratory evil?
Yeah.
I mean, there are literal Bible stories of stuff like this taking place right before God's like, send some fire.
Right. Yeah.
Send some water.
This at the bottom of this, it says it took place in Gomorrah. I made that part up. Sorry.
That would have been... The B.
That would have been, that's the B part, but the rest of that's all real. There is a little bit more. It says the Hotties for Harris wall included pictures of, so this is the Hotties portion, Nancy Pelosi, Travis Kelce, and Tim Walz, while the wall of weirdos included pictures of Marco Rubio, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and Tim Scott.
Oh, I'd vote for all of them for anything if it could be representing me. Do you, listen, if you want to use the title of your party to be Hotties for Harris... Does it matter if they're not really hotties?
Well, that's why I wanted to read that last paragraph with Nancy Pelosi on the hotties wall and Tim Walz. Travis Kelce, sure.
Yeah, I know. You won't ever stop talking about him.
That's off air.
Not anymore.
Dang it. I'm reading a story right now.
Yeah. We get all of our Taylor knowledge from him watching shorts of Travis Kelce all the time.
Watch him in shorts all the time.
You know, I was a little bit... I was a little bit surprised in the first segment.
YouTube shorts. YouTube shorts.
In the first
whatever
segment.
Whatever floats your boat.
When you made
We're
a
talking about your boat. Go on, Ethan.
You made a comment about Kamala being more flattering to look at than Trump or Tim Walz, and I was honestly surprised that that didn't get any pushback from Ryan.
Oh, I would have, but she was on a tear.
She was kind of feeling it.
I got to let her go.
Were you respecting?
Yeah, I was respecting you.
Mm-hmm.
You are the most down the middle speaker I've ever heard.
I'm usually pretty much to the right.
That's what I meant.
Are you saying I'm failing?
Yep.
Well, at least we understand each other.
Harris team asks if her mic can just be muted for the whole debate.
That's got to be the B.
That's the B. Surprise, surprise. Trump campaign senior advisor Jason Miller said in a statement, quote, "There is literally no point in debate if one person isn't going to speak." Then Kamala's quote, fake quote, of course, is kind of long, but I'm not only the first female vice president, but the first person of color also. I'm a pioneer. You know, pioneers? They traveled across the country to find a new life for themselves, like I'm going to find new life in muting my mic. Laughter. So that I don't talk. That's why I should talk, right? I mean, why? Because a picture is worth 1,000 words, and I'm like a picture, a real moving talking
picture.
Okay, I
can't take any more.
Well, not
it.
The talking part.
Stop
laughter.
It. I don't even like the fake quotes of Kamala Harris's.
I knew that was long.
Better than
and
the
I'm like,
real ones.
It just keeps going. It just keeps going.
We have a Twitch person who said, "Why are you reading fake quotes? Is this news?" No, the answer is no. It's actually literally fake news.
Yeah.
Which is why we said that.
We keep saying it in the segment, so I'm not sure how you could gather that we're reading real
but,
headlines.
Thank you to our one Twitch viewer.
Yes, thank you very much. Now, again, these just so if you're just tuning in,
just now,
and you're on Twitch and you're the only person there. We're talking literally directly to you right now.
Yeah.
This is the B or not the B.
Forget about the thousands of people in St. Louis right now.
Yeah, yeah. The tens of thousands in their cars.
Don't matter.
We're talking this one guy.
We've already spent more time on this than necessary.
If you hear a headline, what we're doing is a little game that we call B or not the B. Some of these are real headlines. Some of them are satire. You have to decide which ones.
And some of them are just for now, but will be true later headlines.
Right. Co-workers complaining about stinky cubicle employee surprised to find out she's dead.
Oh, that's real.
That's real. 4 days dead.
You saw this.
Oh. Yes.
This is real.
I didn't read the article because it creeped me out so much, but now I want to know more.
If you ever think you're neglected at work, be grateful that it's not this bad. That's how the article opens. Wells Fargo employee, doesn't say her name, died at a Tempe office, wasn't found until days later, authorities said. She scanned into work on August 16th. Security at the building found her name dead inside the building 4 days after she clocked in, after a colleague found her because several people had smelled a foul odor.
That's so sad.
But passed it off as faulty plumbing. Most of the employees in the division work remotely. So they didn't know she was even there.
Okay, that's what I was curious of is... How do you not find that out in the cubicle?
That's, I don't know. Like, how come it goes for 4 days before?
Yeah.
Dirk wants to say this is a perfectly average segment.
Thank you.
Totally.
Thank you. That's what we're here
Thank
for.
Thank you.
The YouTube live chat poll today is who would you rather ride a roller coaster with, Trump or Harris? And we've got some of your comments coming in here. Jackie said, I'm with Trump because he would make me laugh. His windblown hair would be hilarious and his firm grip. Have you seen some of his handshakes? Would be a great distraction. Let's see here. Let's get to Dirk's. He said, I chose Trump. Curious as to how his hair would look at the end of the ride. You know he'd just let that sucker fly, too.
Or it would look the exact same.
I don't know, because when he's at a event or something like that, he's always talking about, he'll be like, see, look, it's real.
Yeah.
He let Jimmy Fallon, like, rough it up a little
bit. But if the point was he was going to ride a roller coaster, I think he would have that thing just completely stiffed.
You know, in the world of influencer content and everything, wouldn't it be funny for people to interview Donald Trump on a roller coaster?
Yeah,
I feel like
it.
He'd be like extra honest, which not like we need. He's pretty straightforward.
He'd just be talking about the border.
Maybe,
same thing.
Maybe he'd be really sweet. Yeah. I don't know. Let us know what you think on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy,
celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.